Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Here's a question. Is the political left in a death spiral? Number of articles coming from both the right and the left are making this claim, but is this merely wishful thinking? Or is the social, political, ideological left so entrenched in the public mind that it will not only survive, but will soon have a resurgence? This is a huge subject that not only addresses recent news, but biblical teaching concerning God's hand of providence and future prophecy. Well, let's start off with one text of scripture, Psalm chapter 9, which is about God's justice over the nations. Psalm 9:16, the Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the work of his own hands, the wicked is snared. So at the very least, we know that God brings down the wicked and exalts the righteous, which, by the way, is Psalm chapter 75, verse 10. All of the horns of the wicked will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. The horn is a metaphor for strength or power. And we know that God is active in making sure that the wicked do not succeed, but they're actually sowing the seeds of their own destruction. Psalm 101, verse 8, every morning I will destroy all of the wicked of the land, so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. Last week there was an article in the New York Times, the old leftist gray lady herself, entitled, "The Democrats' Problems Run Deep, Nearly Everywhere." And this is where voters shifted toward Donald Trump in the last three elections. And the article is all about how the Democrats have become unpopular with the American public and are losing to the MAGA movement. You know, even though the leftist media is making it seem as if the American people are disgruntled with Donald Trump, however, the surveys and the voting trends say otherwise. Matt Margolis over at PJ Media discusses this article, and he writes, quote, "While Democrats continue their tired routine of Trump bashing and pretending to care about working Americans, the numbers tell a completely different story. The Times analysis reveals a political earthquake that's reshaping the electoral landscape, and it's not in the Democrat favor. In the last election, six times as many counties shifted toward Republicans as toward Democrats. That's not just a loss, that's a political bloodbath. Counties that have become steadily more Republican exist in some of the country's bluest strongholds, including New York City, Philadelphia, and Honolulu. Mr. Trump's party is still losing in those places, but significantly less. Even blue, deep blue and diverse areas like the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn have trended Republican in multiple elections alongside rural upstate counties like St. Louis and Lewis. At the same time, Trump increased Republican margins to new heights in the nation's reddest Republican districts." And the article goes on to explain that the Democrats' problem is that they are increasingly becoming the party of coastal elites and college-educated snobs. Meanwhile, Trump has built an unstoppable coalition that includes working-class voters across all racial and ethnic backgrounds. Republican Richie Torres, Democrat of New York, told the New York Times, "We could be entering a world where the greatest predictors of voter behavior is no longer race. Donald Trump's greatest electoral achievement lies not in breaking the blue wall in the industrial Midwest, but in breaking the blue wall in states like New York and in counties like the Bronx. The Democrats' old playbook is dead, and they know it. Their own pollsters, one Ben Tolchin, admitted that the math doesn't work anymore. While they're stuck pandering to wealthy urbanites and pushing radical policies that normal Americans reject, Trump's MAGA coalition keeps growing stronger. The only thing that could derail this momentum is as if the Republicans get complacent and drop the ball." Well, here's another interesting article. Trump wins among Hispanics. In last year's election, Trump captured 46% of the Hispanic vote. That's a 14% jump from 2020. And you would think with all of the deportations being implemented, the Hispanic community would now despise Trump. But in a recent survey, Trump's approval among Hispanics was 60%. And when asked about the specific issue, 53% of Hispanic voters support Trump's handling of illegal immigration enforcement and deportations. The Hispanics themselves want these illegal criminals deported from their new country. That's why they left their old countries. And unlike limousine liberals, these Hispanics have to live in neighborhoods with these criminals, and they want them out. And this is having the Democrats in a panic, because their whole strategy has been to open the borders to Latinos in order to change the American electorate to a solid Democrat majority. But these Hispanics are voting Republican. They're voting anti-abortion, anti-trans, anti-open borders, anti-Marxism. Back to Psalm chapter 9, the net that the left has hid for others, their own foot has been caught in it. In the work of their own hands, the wicked is snared. And Psalm chapter 10, the wicked are caught in the plots they have devised for others. This article from PJ Media goes on to explain, obviously, this creates an existential crisis for the Democrat Party, which has built an entire electoral strategy around identity politics and demographic assumptions. Democrats assumed that they could take Hispanic voters for granted while simultaneously flooding the country with illegal immigrants who undercut wages and strain resources in Hispanic communities. That strategy has backfired spectacularly. The desperation is palpable. Democrats have doubled down on their authoritarian message, staged theatrical protests, flown down to El Salvador for margaritas with an MS-13 gang member, and ramped up their usual fear-mongering tactics. But contrary to their expectations, Hispanic voters aren't buying what they're selling. Instead, they're responding positively to policies that prioritize American citizens and legal immigrants over those who break our laws. These numbers just aren't bad for Democrats. They're politically devastating. When a party starts bleeding support from a demographic it relies on for generations, and at the same time, its opponents is gaining ground with those very voters, despite supposedly alienating policies, this is not a fluke. It's a sign of a seismic shift underway, one that could mark a lasting realignment in the American political scene. Unquote. Interesting story. Here's another story. American Jews are moving toward the right. Historically, Jews have voted Democrat, but Jews are now realizing that Democrat support for Hamas and the Palestinians is a death sentence for Israel, plus the rise of anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party. Trump received 24% of the Jewish vote in 2016, 30% in 2020, and 32% in 2024. Also, I'm sure you've heard the story that now that businesses are not under political pressure to have DEI initiatives, corporate sponsorship for gay pride parades have disappeared. And many businesses are closing down their DEI offices, IBM, Gannett Newspaper, United Health Group, Warner Brothers, Goldman Sachs, Paramount, BlackRock, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Google. Even Amazon, in their 2024 annual report filed with the SEC, they omitted the DEI section. DEI is the religion and the chaplaincy of secular humanism, and this is the ideological lifeblood for the Democrat Party. MIT is also eliminating its DEI office and ending DEI programs. The new president, Sally Kornbluth, officially closed the Community and Equity Office after earlier prohibiting the use of diversity statements in faculty hiring or student admissions. Senior administrative position at the office will also be eliminated as part of a return to a merit-based focus kicked off by Kornbluth in January 2024. Also in the news, women in sports are finally standing up to men in women's sports, either by refusing to participate, or as in last week, high school girls in Oregon refused to share the winner's podium with a transgender, turning their backs toward him. This is a complete shift in the Overton window of acceptable behavior. And the left doesn't know what to do with it because in their worldview, sexual identity and the approval of transgenderism must trump everything else. They never want to hurt the feelings of a transgender, but they're certainly willing to stamp on the feelings of straight girls. California has even come up with a ridiculous solution that allows for there to be two first place medals in female sports, one for the transgender and one for the biological female. You know, but that's not going to fly for transgenders who want to be fully accepted as women. Trump and his defense secretary, Hegseth, have booted transgenders out of the military because really there's no such thing as a transgender. And the left has lost its mind over this. A judge issued an injunction preventing the removal of transgenders, requiring the military to reinstate all of the transgenders. But the Supreme Court overturned that injunction, allowing the Hegseth policy to stand. You know, it's interesting how diehard Democrats refuse to move away from LGBTQ, their immoral, anti-Christian, sexual liberation stance. So they're doubling down, such as Colorado passing a law declaring that Colorado is now a sanctuary state for transgenders. And while the Trump administration, the majority of American people, want to save children from sexual mutilation, Colorado declares itself to be a safe haven for puberty blockers and sex changes for children. Last week, after transgender supporters attacked a Christian group in Seattle who are holding a Save Our Children rally, the mayor of Seattle doubled down on queer theory ideology. Quote, he said, the city is proud of our reputation as welcoming, as an inclusive city for the LGBTQ plus community, and we stand with our trans neighbors when they face bigotry and injustice. Today's far-right rally was held here for this very reason, to provoke a reaction by promoting beliefs that are inherently opposed to our city's values. Well, apparently this mayor doesn't realize that LGBTQ ideology is heading for the dustbin of history. In the collapse of the left, there is also the collapse of the leftist legacy media. Who would have thought, even just 5 years ago, that CNN and MSNBC would be going bankrupt? Only 400,000 people watch CNN. 2.9 million people watch Fox News. And Fox News is the most watched cable news network. And there's also inner strife within the Democrat Party, a civil war, between the old guard and the more radical young ideologues. Even Bernie Sanders is saying that Democrats need to start calling themselves independents because the Democrat label has fallen upon hard times. You know, unfortunately, the Democrats are not changing their ideology. They're simply realizing they need to hide it from the public. And the big news last week is that the Democrat Party is acknowledging the fact that they have lost young men. A report was leaked to the New York Times that the Democrats have a $20 million initiative called American Men, a strategic plan that will study the syntax, language, and the content that gains attention and virility in these spaces of male voters. The focus is on digital outreach, emphasizing platforms like TikTok, YouTube, and podcasts. Here's a quote from the Daily Wire in this regard. Democrats are facing a crisis of perception and policy. The party's approval rating has plummeted to 27%, the lowest since 1990. Young men in particular have shifted rightward, and many feel alienated by the Democrat Party message, and they're drawn to the GOP's bold, unapologetic style, exemplified by the head of the party himself, Donald Trump. A focus group cited by the Times reported that voters see Democrats as tortoises and sloths, slow and passive, compared to Republicans who are viewed as aggressive apex predators. Working class counties with lower median incomes have seen younger men gravitate toward the GOP, which they perceive as the better choice for addressing their economic concerns, their job security, and cost of living. Young white men, particularly those without college degrees, feel that the Democrat focus on social issues like gender identity and systemic racism demonizes them. Many resent the Biden administration's heavy push for DEI policies. Meanwhile, the GOP's presence on platforms like YouTube and popular podcasts like Joe Rogan has created a cultural pull that Democrats are struggling to counter, unquote. Now, what's really interesting is that the left itself mocked these efforts by the Democrat Party, their efforts to have a $20 million program to examine how they can reach young men. In this one article, the claim is that they cannot buy authenticity. Unless the party actually changes its ideology, it's not going to reach young men. The party cannot fake it until they make it. So it looks like the Democrat Party is in trouble. You know, every week I get an email from an organization called Defending the Republic, called Good News Friday, where they list all of the positive developments for the right that have happened over the week. And the list is getting longer and longer under Trump compared to the rare and meager successes under the Biden administration. You may want to find the link to Defending the Republic online and subscribe to that email. So all is to say, conservatism, generally Christian values, appear to be winning, at least pushing back the leftism to a much greater degree. And it seems like the campaign promise of Donald Trump has come true. In the words of President Trump,
"We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much." And I'll say, "No, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you all."
But is this true? How are we to understand the current cultural shift? The theories in Christendom are endless. From the postmillennial Christians who are saying that this is the prophesied Christian reset, where the pagans are defeated and Christ begins his rule over the nations. Matthew 16, Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then there's the other side that's saying that this is all an illusion. This is not conservatism winning. This is just a new form of paganism. The claim is that the current administration is actually a betrayal of conservatism because it's not pure Christianity. That once the Republicans are in power, they will become Democrats. And that the current conservative movement is actually meant by God to collapse and betray Christians so that the church will learn not to trust politics. That all of this conservatism is simply the coming deception of the Antichrist, for the world will always be given over to the spirit of the Antichrist. You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So there are many theories and verses that could be used to support one direction or another. But one thing that's for sure in Scripture, our battle against evil will not end until Christ returns and secures the final victory. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. "When the Son of Man comes, then the angels will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." And 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, "We get relief when our Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." But until that time, Satan is not going to take any vacation. In fact, he's doing the opposite. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Woe to the earth because of the devil. He's come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Here's an article from the New York Times. A newly triumphant Republican president is once again in the headlines. What will it take to break the present national divide between the narrow but solid Republican majority and the Democrat Party seemingly trapped in second place? That pattern may be hardening into one that will persist for years to come. And this article quotes a number of historians and political scientists who predict a new era of enduring Republican dominance. In the words of one, quote, "The Republicans are basically unchecked. There is no check in the federal government and no check in the world. They have an unfettered playing field." But that article is not from this year. It's from 2004. That was when George Bush won his second term. But little did they know at that time that the Democrats would win back the White House for the next 8 years. And in the midterms, Bush would lose the House and the Senate. And with the Democrats in charge, gay marriage would become the law of the land. Leftist DEI and LGBTQ policies and censorship would dominate the country. When Obama won the White House in 2008, I remember all of the Democrat articles and the talking points was that Republicans would never again win the presidency. And then came the Tea Party and Obama losing the House and Trump winning and crushing the optimism of the left. So no wonder they're so angry and they hate him so much. Their defeat was actually a delight to see because even the scripture reminds us that we're to rejoice when the righteous rule. And I make no apologies for being partisan. The party of abortion, LGBTQ, transgenderism, sex changes for children, abortion, cultural Marxism is identical to the party of Baal worshipers that the party of Jehovah worshipers had to deal with in ancient Israel. Well, anyway, history shows that the left will often have a temporary resurgence because the default condition of mankind is sin. Here's an opinion piece from The Hill. A blue alert. Why Democrats are posed to win in 2028 and 2032. I kind of believe the author is being a little bit naively optimistic, maybe blinded by his own echo chamber. You know, at this point, I could actually go into all of the signs that the left still has plenty of support and strength in the world. Globalists are still active, but we get the point. But imagine if the left does win in 2028 and 2032. All it would take would be for some national disaster, financial or a war, a disaster that's already been in the making. Then the Republican administration will be blamed. And the fickle public will vote their pocketbooks and vote for a change in government. Sound familiar? It's what happened in 2020 because of COVID. Then everything accomplished by the Republicans would be unraveled. Businesses would once again be required to implement DEI. Transgenderism would be back in sports and everywhere. There would once again be billions of dollars handed out to leftist constituents. There'd be more abortion. More censorship in the name of safety. The voicing or the practicing of Christian values will be considered illegal, hate speech. Christianity will be out of season. You know, like Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where he wrote, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. When Donald Trump won back in 2016, one Republican politician was asked, "What does it mean that Trump won and Hillary Clinton lost?" He said, "It means I won't be going to jail." So the original question was, is the left in a death spiral? And I'm going to end with some good news. The answer is yes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, "The world is passing away, but he that does the will of the Lord abides forever. In 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Christ has the victory. He has already won. He's just recruiting people now for his kingdom before he takes possession of what is rightfully his. The whole book of the Revelation is all about Christ receiving the title deed of the earth. And currently all of the activities of the ungodly are nothing more than their final gasp for breath before death and judgment. And this is the way the scripture would have us see the situation. Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Now, there are two senses in which we need to see this, and so hang in there, I'm almost done. First, from an earthly point of view, the unsaved, living in the lust of their flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, are always going downhill. They're sabotaging themselves. There's always alcoholism and drug use and the emotional and the physical consequences of immorality, the consequences of financial corruption. Just by the Christian community having a vastly greater fertility rate than the unsaved means the righteous will win. The unsaved are aborting themselves. The punishment for sin is built into sin. So we must remember these scriptural promises, such as Proverbs chapter 2, verse 21. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. And I believe this is not just referring to the future heavenly kingdom, but earth right now. People groups, family groups that are wicked do go into decline and disappear. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Psalm chapter 37, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. You're going to look carefully for his place and he's not going to be there. Psalm 37:17, for the arm of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. Verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Psalm 37:34, wait for the Lord and keep his ways, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And there are hundreds of other similar verses in scripture. And this is in regard to the prosperity of God's people, even in this world. Now, some may imagine that the ungodly are being successful, but in reality, they're imploding and living short, pathetic lives. But all these earthly promises do point to a greater inheritance in a country to come, the kingdom of Christ. And the ungodly have no part in that, so they truly are in a death spiral, even now. When we see the wicked in the world, we're to remember they will be defeated, even if God allows them to have a brief resurgence simply so that they can be an example of evil. Psalm 92 addresses this, Psalm 92:7, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. Verse 12, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. I had someone say to me last week that the right has been losing ground every year for the last 50 years. Morality is eroding. Not so. Jesus Christ is winning, and the wicked are exposing themselves. And I've said this quite often, even in the coming of the prophesied apocalypse, the Antichrist only reigns for 7 years. And if you check the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, he is actually losing the whole time. All of his efforts are backfiring on him. Satan and his people are standing in a circular firing squad. So yes, the left is in a death spiral. And that's why we must come to Christ for life and life more abundantly. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.